The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
Netball Show with Flyhawk, and today we're going to speak to somebody that's got a real unique insight into the Commonwealth Games, who's experienced the event from both sides of the story. Susan Egglestaff, you work for the Herald, and obviously you won the Commonwealth Bronze Manchester, it was, and in Melbourne as well.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So I've been around the Commonwealth Games for a long time.
Today as well, you write for the Herald, keeping that interest in sport going. I wanted to get you on, obviously, to reflect back on Glasgow. So when you look back a couple of weeks later, what's been some of that overall impressions?
Well, I think, you know, when Glasgow first got the Commonwealth Games, you know, we first found out it was coming to Glasgow, I was, to be honest, I was pretty sceptical. Obviously, it was quite a rocky path for the Commonwealth Games to end up in Glasgow. It was initially going to be in Victoria in Australia. Then they pulled out because they said it was going to be too expensive. Then it kind of went round a load of other countries potentially going to host it. And then obviously Glasgow stepped in at the last minute. So I was pretty sceptical about basically the reason for it coming to Glasgow. You know, I was pretty sceptical about how successful it would be, like the point of having it in Glasgow, because, you know, Scotland only had 18 months or so to prepare for it, which is not a lot of time. And I was pretty sceptical about it was a scaled down version with only 10 sports, and it was only across four venues in Glasgow. So I really wasn't sure how it was going to be a success. And it had a very much reduced budget as well. It ended up coming in at about £160 million, which in comparison to previous games is, you know, like minuscule.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really sure how good Glasgow 2026 was going to be. And I've got to say, like, on balance, it really exceeded my expectations. I think there was a lot of kind of real highlights came out of it. I think what really helped the games was there was some of the really big names decided to come. You know, that's always what's going to make or break the Commonwealth Games, is if the big athletes decide it's worthwhile to compete at or not. And, you know, I think, like, in particular, Josh Kerr, the middle distance runner, he'd just broken the world mile record, like, you know, a couple of weeks previously. He decided to run the mile in Glasgow. That was a huge thing for this Commonwealth Games. And there was obviously some other huge names, like, across all the sports. And I think, really, on balance, I think it was a success. You know, there was some real kind of sporting highlights. And, you know, that's really, like, the most important thing for a major sporting event. But having said that, I don't think it was flawless. You know, I think there was, like, some big mistakes made, and there was things that could definitely have been done better. But, yeah, like I say, I think, kind of overall, I think there was far more positives than negatives coming out of this Commonwealth Games.
Yeah, many have said, obviously, Glasgow raised that bar, didn't they, in terms of passion and commitment as well. So that was really special, wasn't it? How important will that be for Scottish sport and those athletes moving ahead?
I mean, if we compare this Commonwealth Games in 2026 to the last one that was in Glasgow in 2014, there wasn't the same kind of atmosphere, you know, around the city or around the country. It wasn't as big a deal. It didn't have the same kind of reach. But having said that, in the stadiums, there was, in the main, a really good atmosphere. I mean, there was too many empty seats for my liking. But, you know, one of the kind of main sessions was the athletics session on the Saturday evening when it was the men's mile, which was, you know, one of the kind of biggest events of the games. That was Scotstoun Stadium was packed out, you know, 11,000 people. There was some other sports. I know some of the netball sessions were fully sold out, and that they had a lot of seats. Some of the gymnastics was sold out. You know, there was really good atmospheres in a lot of the sessions. I mean, still, I would have liked to have seen the tickets being priced a little bit cheaper to make sure that, you know, more tickets were sold than did end up being sold. There was still a lot of tickets left at the end of it. But when they managed to get a full stadium, the atmosphere was amazing. And yeah, especially for the Scottish athletes to be able to compete on home soil. And there was obviously a select few that were competing at home Commonwealth Games for the second time, having competed at Glasgow 2014. So yeah, it's a huge thing. And I mean, that's someone like Josh Kerr said the reason he had been targeting the Commonwealth Games was because it was on home soil.
Yeah.
So it's a huge thing for Scottish athletes to get that chance to do that. And I mean, it's unlike anything else when you get to compete in a Scottish vest in front of Scottish fans, and especially in sports, you know, like cycling, swimming, athletics, who normally compete for GB. So this is their kind of one rare chance to compete for Scotland as a Commonwealth Games. So I think for especially the sports that normally compete as GB, it's a huge thing to be able to compete in a Scottish vest on Scottish soil.
Speaking about being part of Team Scotland and obviously performing in that Scottish vest, let's have a nice bit of the interview where you tell me about that moment where you'd first found out you were selected. What was that like?
Yeah, it was a long time ago that I was first
Oh, come
selected for
on.
Commonwealth Games. So, but yeah, I mean, it's a huge thing. I was still a teenager when I went to my first Commonwealth Games, so it all happened like pretty quickly for me. So I think I would have been 18, maybe just turned 19 when I first got selected for Manchester in 2002. And yeah, it's a huge thing. Actually, for badminton, we compete as Scotland most of the time. So, I didn't have the kind of GB angle to it, but it's a huge thing because a multi-sport event is completely different from competing in, even something like a European or a World Championships or anything like that. A multi-sport event has a completely different dimension to it. And, Team Scotland, because it is quite a bit smaller than, for example, Team England, like everyone's really tight-knit. I mean, I'm still friends with people from other sports who I met at Commonwealth Games, and like Scottish sport is a pretty small bubble. So one of the best things is, you get to become really good friends with athletes from other sports. It's like just, a really kind of incredible like supportive atmosphere and like environment in Team Scotland. And I think that's probably one of the most special things about the Commonwealth Games is being around athletes from other sports. You all can kind of you get an interest in other sports that you maybe wouldn't normally because you're around these other athletes. And I think, like definitely Team Scotland, and still, I mean, I've not been in Team Scotland for years as an athlete, but you still hear athletes talk about it, like the really kind of special feeling in Team Scotland. And it really is, it's different from any other team. And I was part of Team GB for the Olympics, and Team Scotland still definitely has a different feeling even compared to an Olympic team. So yeah, it's a huge thing. I mean, still one of the kind of, or some of the biggest moments in my career were as a member of Team Scotland at the Commonwealth Games. So yeah, it's a huge thing. And I guess that's what was really important about Glasgow taking this Commonwealth Games on was, I think without Glasgow taking this on, I think that would have been the end of the Commonwealth Games. So I think the fact that Glasgow did do this, they kind of remodeled the games, it's given these athletes the chance to not only compete at this Commonwealth Games this summer, but going forward, because I think without Glasgow 2026, I think that would have been the end of the Commonwealth Games. So I think, everyone who's been part of Team Scotland, and I'm sure the other home nation teams as well, are really pleased to see that because it's completely different to any other sporting event as an athlete.
How does it feel, obviously, representing your country compared to that individual basis? Hugely different.
Yeah, it is really different because there's obviously, the kind of team aspect of it that, even just like the little things that like you're all walking about in the same kit, you're walking about with, a hockey player and you're both wearing the same kit, all that kind of thing. So yeah, it is a huge thing. I think also you get a completely different platform when you're competing for Scotland or actually any of the home nations, but especially competing for Scotland at the Commonwealth Games in comparison to just in your normal individual sport bubble, because there's so much more interest and like from the public. And there's just kind of much more, I think, much more excitement really around the Commonwealth Games than there is for these smaller sports who maybe don't get as much publicity. There's a lot more excitement and a lot more attention at something like the Commonwealth Games. I mean, that also brings pressure with it because you know that there's more people watching and more people paying attention. But that's part of being an athlete is having to deal with that. So it definitely is a different feeling. And yeah, I mean, it's still like I still remember. I mean, some of like my best kind of memories are from, I think, especially, from being in the Athletes' Village as part of Team Scotland. And I think it is just a completely different feeling from my own perspective going off to, say, Asia to play a tournament with, maybe a couple of other players. Being part of this much bigger team is like a really, really special thing.
What about inside the Athletes' Village? Obviously, they'll have plenty of unique memories, shall we say, and some of your memories have been around that environment.
Yeah, do you know the Athletes' Village is just really fun, and that's like the Athletes' Village remains some of my kind of like favorite, or probably my favorite part
Part of it,
of
yeah.
a Commonwealth Games. Yeah, because like often the accommodation isn't exactly like fancy or luxury or anything. So I went to three Commonwealth Games in Manchester, Melbourne, and Delhi, and the accommodation was different in them all, but there's a similarity in that it's definitely not luxury. Like you're often in a pretty small room with, a couple of beds squeezed in, and there's definitely nothing fancy in it. But I think that's kind of part of it. And then, say, there's going to dining hall, and then, you get to see up close these like super famous athletes. So it's just like, like I say, it's so different from anything else. And yeah, the Athletes' Village, as much as it's not, like the nicest place I've stayed in terms of, the room being fancy, it's definitely my favorite place. And like one of my favorite parts, if not my favorite part of these multi-sport events in the Commonwealth Games, has been in the Athletes' Village, because it's just really good fun.
Claire Maxwell once told me that she shared a fast food meal next to Tom Daley. It's things like that, isn't it?
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. Yeah, and that's the type of thing you would never normally get the chance to do something like that. So, yeah, that doesn't surprise me that that she's done that. And I remember in Melbourne, basically the first person I saw in the athletes' dining hall was Ian Thorpe, the swimmer. And there's just these huge names. So yeah, it's like it's just kind of adds a real kind of extra element to the Commonwealth Games that you don't get when you're just at your own individual sport competitions. And I think most athletes would say that's one of the highlights has been in the Athletes' Village.
Back to Glasgow, obviously it's still fresh in everybody's mind. So, were there any performances or moments in it that caught your eye?
Yeah, there was a few. Definitely Josh Kerr winning the mile. That was probably my highlight, because he had so much pressure and expectation on him, having just broken that mile world record. But winning a championship gold medal is completely different from a time trial for a world record. And I think there was a lot of kind of expectation. Well, he's run 3:42 for the world record. Of course he'll win in Glasgow, and it's never sport is never that straightforward. And actually in that mile, it looked briefly like it was going to be a Scottish 1-2 with Josh Kerr and Jake Whiteman, but unfortunately Jake Whiteman faded a little bit just in the last lap. But that I think Josh Kerr winning gold was probably my highlight. I think from a Scottish point of view, again, Angaradh Evans in the pool was a real kind of breakout name. I think not too many people outside of the swimming world would have known who she was prior to Glasgow 2026. And that, again, that's the real beauty of a Commonwealth Games, is athletes can really make a name for themselves when, in the kind of wider public, which is so much harder when you're just competing in your own sport. So that was a real highlight. In gymnastics, Reuben Ward won Scotland's first ever gymnastics all-around gold medal, and that's huge for Scotland. Especially at the Commonwealth Games, England has been so strong. So to have a Scottish guy up there, it was a huge thing. And then, well, I know the netball, there was loads of drama in the netball. So I never actually managed to make it to the netball live, but I saw some of the highlights. And yeah, like really exciting games, and like some quite big upsets in the netball as well. Obviously Australia getting
Yeah.
beaten, which was really unexpected. So that's, I always quite like to see, I mean, I say the underdog, but I like to see the underdogs winning, because I think it can become a little bit predictable. It's the same countries or the same people winning gold medals all the time. So yeah, that was a highlight as well. And just kind of overall, there's always, the Commonwealth Games always gives the chance for athletes to who are maybe not quite as well known to really kind of like give themselves a platform. Georgia Hunter-Bell as well, actually in the track, she was really impressive. So yeah, there was a lot of really huge names at Glasgow, and that's the kind of exciting thing, is especially for kids getting to see some of these really world-class athletes up close and in real life. And that's a huge thing. I mean, I remember seeing, watching live sport when I was a kid, and I'm sure a lot of these kids will remember that, in 20 or 30 years' time too.
And that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's just sparking that interest.
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully, there'll be a few, well, Scottish kids or British kids who have been to see something at the Commonwealth Games, either a sport that they're already interested in, or one that's maybe, yeah, like you say, it's maybe sparked a wee interest for them now. And yeah, hopefully, because I know there's quite a lot of the Scottish athletes in particular who were at Glasgow 2026 have kind of referenced watching Glasgow 2014, and that really like sparked something in them. So hopefully in, 12 or so years, we'll be watching some more Scottish athletes winning medals, and they'll mention being at Glasgow 2026, and that really like sparking an interest and kind of giving them motivation going forward. So yeah, I think that's where I think there's a kind of real value to hosting these major events, is that it can really get especially kids interested in sport. And yeah, I mean, that's the most important thing, I think, is getting the grassroots stronger and getting the next generation involved.
And obviously, you're working for the Herald these days. What was that transition like, obviously, going from athlete to journalist? Do you see events differently today?
Yeah, definitely see events differently. Yeah, so for me, it was quite a gradual transition because I started writing for the Herald when I was still competing. So one of the kind of like first kind of big things I did for them was I would write little kind of first person pieces from inside the Athletes' Village at the London 2012 Olympics. And that was kind of a different angle from what any other newspaper had because journalists are not allowed in the Athletes' Village. So the Herald had like an insider view from the Athletes' Village in London that nobody else really had. And because I was still competing, I was really just writing for fun. And you know, it was quite nice it just being something to kind of take my mind off the
Something
pressure
to
of
do,
being an
yeah.
athlete. And then I retired after the London Olympics in 2012. And that's when I started doing more of a kind of serious transition. And yeah, it has changed. I mean, for me, like the best thing is still being able to be involved in sport. Obviously, you can't be an athlete forever. So if you can't be an athlete, I would say that probably writing and talking about it is the next best thing. So it's a real pleasure still being able to speak to mainly Scottish athletes I speak to, still being able to speak to these kind of really world-class Scottish athletes. And, you know, I think what's sometimes helpful is chatting to these athletes. You know, most of them know that I used to be an athlete and they know that I kind of can appreciate what it's like to be an athlete and can appreciate it from their point of view. So my kind of previous career as an athlete hopefully helps me with what I'm doing now. And yeah, but definitely it's I definitely watch sport differently. I mean, even when Josh Kerr was doing his celebration lap and you know he was taking so many selfies and with kids and you know signing autographs. And if I had been an athlete, I would have been like, oh, that's so nice. But as a journalist, there was a few of us standing in the big zone, just like, come on, Josh, go on with it. We want to get home. And he ended up not coming into the mix zone until about 11 o'clock at night. And obviously, as a journalist, we're all just like, or all the journalists were just like, very good, Josh. Let's just get on with this, and we can get this written and get it finished. But yeah, so there's stuff like that that I definitely think of it more from like a work point of view. But I think it's really helpful being able to see it from both sides, and just often I can appreciate, you know, the pressure that athletes are under, or you know, sometimes can I can empathize more with how they're feeling than if you've never been in that situation. So yeah, hopefully my past career is helping this one. Who knows? But I think yeah, that definitely gives me quite an important perspective on being an athlete.
I can't believe we've got the end of the interview before I ask you what your favourite Commonwealth Games host city is. So, what's your favourite Commonwealth Games host city?
I probably should say Glasgow, given it's been here twice.
Good
But I think
answer.
actually
Write
for
that, Luke.
me, I'd have to say Melbourne because so I competed in Melbourne in 2006, and Australia do these kind of massive sporting events so well, and Australia is just like this amazing sporting country. You know, they did such an amazing job of that Commonwealth Games in 2006. So I think unfortunately I'd have to maybe say Melbourne, Australia, but Glasgow would be pretty much joint first for me too.
Join first, we'll let you off. Susan, thank you so
Great
much for your time. Really useful to get that insight covering a major event. Thanks again.
to speak to you.
The Netball Show is now also available via Sky Q and Sky Glass. Select sport, and we're on the podcasts rail.